Blog Talk Radio.
Join your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr, each and every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. as she discusses ways to walk through this thing we call life. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to this beautiful Saturday morning here on Walking the Talk Radio. I'm your host, the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr. I appreciate you tuning in this early Saturday morning. It's very early, and I'm really, 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 really grateful to you for taking time to listen to me this morning so we could discuss some things. Before I begin, I just want to give a quick shout out to my niece, Kiana Bowman. A lot of you hear her on Tuesday night when we do our Bible study, and a couple of weeks ago, we were just talking, and she reminded me about a scripture I had forgotten. And we're going to talk about it this morning because the funny thing is, I need the scripture for where I am in my life right now. I had questions, and I needed to know what direction to go in. Do you feel like that? You have decisions, choices to make, and you don't know where to go. You don't know what you should choose. You don't know what's going on. You feel like you're caught up in a whirlwind. Feel like you're going to and fro and to. Like you just can't make a decision. There's so many things out there, so many choices, so many choices is a good word that you can make, and you want to make sure that you're making the smart one, the educated one, the godly one, the one that's going to be righteous for you and right for you. Well, here's something that I learned years ago that I forgot, and the best way to make decisions and get answers is to talk to God about it. And I forgot. I completely forgot. Like, I talked about it, I lived it for some point in my life, and then life happened, and I completely forgot. So I want to thank her because she reminded me of something I had said to her years and years and years ago, and it's relevant for my life right here, right now, for where I am. I would have forgotten had she not said what she said a week or two ago. So thank you, Key. I appreciate you. I love you. And today, because of that love, I'm going to share with you guys what it is that she reminded me of so we can get through this thing called life and make wise choices and decisions, and also not to feel like we're caught up in a whirlwind. So many things are happening, and it feels like we can't catch a hold of or a toehold and balance ourselves and be still. We keep running and running and running and racing and running. When we need to face some things and do some things, and the only way we're going to accomplish them is to talk to God. So join with me as we discuss for a few minutes, how will I know? Father God, we come to you this morning saying thank you, Lord, for waking us up this morning. Thank you for setting us on our pathway for today, Lord God. Thank you that we have the full utility of our limbs, that our minds are right and righteous and settled, Lord God. We thank you, Father God, that no matter what happened yesterday, today is a new day, and we're giving a new opportunity to do things correctly. We're giving a new opportunity to reach out to you. We're able to make better decisions today, right some wrongs, Lord God, move forward, Father, leave some things in the past, Lord God, shake some things off today, Father. We thank you for you touching our minds this morning. We ask that you would take over them, Lord God, that you would put inside of us what we need, Father God. We're asking that your will be done in our lives today, Lord. Lord, you are awesome. We love you so much, so, so much, Father. If there's anything in us that is unlike you, anything that we've done to wrong another, we ask that you would forgive us now, Lord God, for those things we did intentionally and unintentionally, Lord God, the things that we did knowingly and unknowingly. We ask that you would just forgive us. Wipe and wash our sleeps clean, Lord God. Allow us a new beginning today, Lord. And for those that we have not forgiven, we ask that you will remind us of any ought that we have, that we may forgive it, that we may make our lives right, Lord. For the Bible says that not only should we ask for forgiveness, but we should give forgiveness. So we're forgiving today, Father. Just remind us of who needs to be forgiven and what things need to be forgotten. Not forgotten that we don't remember them, but forgotten that the sting is no longer there, the pain, the hurt is no longer there, that we can remember without holding it over somebody, without rubbing their faces in it, Lord God. Help us to mature today, Father God. For those that are sick, we're asking that you would take care of them, that you would heal, whole, make them whole, Lord God. I hear that word in my spirit. Make people whole today, Lord God. There are people who are walking around that are not whole, and we're asking that you would just fix them and put them together, shape them, mold them today, Lord God, like the potter with a new piece of clay. You shape us the way that you want us to be shaped today, Lord God. We're asking you to have your way as we surrender to you. Now help me, Lord God, say the words that I need to say and do the things that I need to do, Lord God, to bring across this message that you gave me many years ago that's relevant for today. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for using me. Now let me hide behind you, Lord God. You have your way and take over me. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. How will I know? How do you know when God is talking to you? How do you know? How will you know? You remember that song by Whitney Houston, How Will I Know If He Really Loves Me? I'm not going to sing it only because I love you and I don't want you to hear my beautiful voices early in the morning. I think I still sound like Wheezy. However, How Will I Know was one of Whitney Houston's most popular songs. She had many, and you know that I was and am a great fan of hers. And so I thought it appropriate that if Whitney has some questions, we should have some questions too. How will I know? We're going to go to Judges, the sixth chapter. I'm going to be reading out of the easy-to-read version. You know it's one of my favorite versions after King James. But I saw some things in this version that I just wanted to share with you as we read. You can follow along whatever version of the Bible that you have, and we'll read together. I'm going to start at verse 1. Again, the Israelites did what the Lord said was wrong. So for 7 years, the Lord allowed the Midianites to defeat the Israelites. The Midianites were very powerful and were cruel to the Israelites. So the Israelites made many hiding places in the mountains. They hid their food in caves and places that were hard to find. They did that because of the Midianites and Amalekites from the east always came and destroyed their crops. They camped in the land and destroyed the crops, that the Israelites had planted. They ruined the crops of the Israelites as far as the land near the city of Gaza. They did not leave anything for the Israelites to eat. They did not even leave them any sheep, cattle, or donkeys. The Midianites came with their families, animals, and tents. They were like a swarm of locusts. They and their camels were too many to count. They came into the land and ruined it. The Israelites became very poor because of the Midianites, so the Israelites cried to the Lord for help. The Midianites did all these bad things, so the Israelites cried to the Lord for help. The Lord sent a prophet to them. He said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. You were slaves in the land of Egypt. I made you free and brought you out of that land. I saved you from the powerful Egyptians. Then the Canaanites hurt you, so I saved you again. I made them leave their land, and I gave their land to you. Then I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You will live in the land of the Amorites, but you must not worship their false gods, but you did not obey me." Let me stop right there because we're in the book of Judges. And unlike our judges of today, the judges in biblical times were people that God sent to save his people. They were not the judges that sat on a bench and said, "You're guilty or not guilty," but rather they became warriors for God and led his people out of bondage. Many times the Israelites were in bondage because they were disobedient to God. And here we see that God is directly talking to them through the prophet, saying, the Midianites are attacking you because I told you not to worship false gods. Be careful of going somewhere and picking up the habits of the people that dwell in the place that you're going. You always must first remember who you are. It's very important because we go places, whether it's the workplace, whether it's our own business, visiting different areas of land, and we sometimes forget who we are, and we take on the moniker of the people who we are around. I know it's not easy in corporate America to be a Christian because they don't want you to say the name God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit. They don't allow you to wear certain things that may have a logo or an emblem that has anything to do with God. It's hard to keep your foot rooted in who you are, but there are ways to go about it. I like that at my job, I was able to have things in my cube and it did not upset those I worked with because it was in my personal cube. So if you did not want to see that I was a Christian and that I didn't love or that I did love God or whatever, you didn't have to come into my cube. So I'm just telling you, there are ways that even when you're working in an area or a field that you can't say, God bless you, or I'm praying for you, or God loves you. Even if you can't do those things outright, there are creative ways to keep God with you. And sometimes just encouraging people, just loving on people shows God even more than saying God loves you, if you get what I'm saying. So you don't always have to preach and speak and yell from the hilltop, I love God, I'm a Christian. You don't have to do that. But there are ways that you keep him with you. Just remember, I don't want you to ever get uncomfortable in being a Christian. I don't want you to ever take the cloak of Christianity off. And I know it's not a physical cloak, but I just want to use that so you know exactly what I mean. You should never get to a place where you have to take that cloak of Christianity off in order to fit in. Maybe you're not supposed to fit in. Maybe you are supposed to stand out. I'm learning this more and more in life that you're not always going to be comfortable where you are, because you can't get comfortable because you're not meant to be there long. You're not meant to be like everybody else. They need to see the light that's in you. It has to shine. Even if it's the dim light, it still needs to shine. So I just want to tell you today that it's okay to be a Christian. It's okay to love on God and not to have to push it in anybody's face, nor should you have to hide it to the point where you look like everybody else. Let us continue with Judges, the 6th chapter. I'm on verse 11. The angel of the Lord visits Gideon. One time, the angel of the Lord came to a place called Ophrah and sat under an oak tree. This oak tree belonged to a man named Joash from the Abiezer family. His son Gideon was beating some wheat in a wine press. He was hiding so the Midianites could not see the wheat. The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said, "The Lord be with you, brave soldier." Then Gideon said, "Pardon me, sir, but if the Lord is with us, why are we having so many troubles? We heard that he did wonderful things for our ancestors. They tell us that the Lord took them out of Egypt, but now it seems the Lord has left us and is letting the Midianites defeat us." The Lord turned toward Gideon and said, "Then use your great power and go save the Israelites from the Midianites. I am sending you to save them." But Gideon answered and said, "Pardon me, sir, how can I save Israel? My family group is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the youngest one in my family." The Lord answered Gideon and said, "I will be with you, so you can defeat the Midianites as easily as if they were only one man." Let's stop here. So I'm going to use me. When I say you, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me, because I don't want anyone to think I'm beating up on you. I'm going to beat up on me. You're in a place in your life where you see nothing but negativity. Negative things are happening around you. Negative things are happening to you. Things are being taken away from you. You're losing things. Things that have been promised you still have yet to manifest. You feel beaten down. You feel like the enemy is on attack and winning, and you're losing. And so you get to a place where God says to you, "Keep doing what I told you to do. You're going to be victorious." But all around you, you see defeat. It's a hard place to be when God tells you to keep moving forward, when your circumstances and your situations, your reality, you see nothing but defeat. You're losing. You have nothing that says victory whatsoever. So you're looking at God, and you're saying to him, "How can I accomplish what you want me to accomplish? How can I do what you're asking me to do when I see no hope? All I see is despair. All I'm doing is crying. from what I've lost, what I don't have, what I need and don't have. These things are going through my mind, and you're telling me to keep moving forward, keep progressing, keep accomplishing, keep doing. All the resources have dried up. The enemy is winning. The people who laugh at me are laughing louder. The people who have talked about me are talking more. But you're telling me to move forward. I don't even believe myself anymore. I don't even believe in myself anymore. And God is telling you, you're going to defeat them. And all you see are your negatives. Look at Gideon. He's saying, my family group, my family is the weakest in Manasseh. We're the weakest. And not only are we the weakest, but I'm the youngest, the least in my family. So how, with my family being small and weak, me being the youngest and weak, how would you choose me to do this great thing that you're talking about? And you're saying, in your mind, my finances are nil. I lost my job. I'm without transportation. I have nothing. I have no pot to wee-wee in and no window to throw it out of. I can't even take care of me and what I'm going to be doing the next day. Yet, you're asking me to keep walking, to keep moving, to keep following the dream you gave me. But yet, all the resources are gone. The resources that I had that were barely helping me make it have been taken away, so I don't even have them to rely on. How is it you want me to continue to do the thing that you have called me to do? So God is saying this, but your circumstances, your reality is saying that. Who are you going to choose? This or that? This or that? This or that? This or that? Your reality versus God's promise. Your circumstances versus God's word. How will you know when it's God's word? How do you know it's not ludicrousy? Is that a word? I want to say lunacy. Thank you. How do you know it's not crazy talk that you're hearing? How will you know that it's God? How will you know this is what you're supposed to do? How will you know? This brings me to my first point, and I'm going to let you go soon. I promise you this is not long. Don't be afraid to investigate God. Number one, don't be afraid to investigate God. Let's look at verses 17 and then 20 through 21. Verse 17 says, then Gideon said to him, if you would, please give me some proof that you really are the Lord. 20 says, the angel of God said to Gideon, put the meat and the bread on that rock over there, then pour the broth on it. Gideon did as he was told. The angel of the Lord had a walking stick in his hand. He touched the meat and the bread with the end of the stick, and fire jumped up out of the rock and burned up the meat and the bread. Then the angel of the Lord disappeared. How will I know? Don't be afraid to investigate God. Put in parentheses, research. You know that it's God, that it's God's word, that it's his promise, that it's his will, that it's what he wants to do after you do some research. There's nothing wrong with researching God. Find out who God is. How can you believe something or someone if you've done no research about them? We've got 66 chapters that tell us, I'm sorry, 66 books that tell us about God. That's the research that you need. Not only do we have 66 chapters, oh, I want to keep saying chapters, books in the Bible, but we also have experience. We also have things that we've been through with God. We've had experiences with him. He's brought us out of the fire before. Not only do we have our testimony, not only do we have the Bible, but we have other people's testimony as well. Not only do we have testimony from someone else, testimony from ourselves, the Bible, but we also have prayer. See, this is what I like about Gideon. He was never scared. He was not afraid to ask questions. He was not afraid. He said, my family group is the weakest in the tribe of Manasseh. I'm the youngest one in my family. But the Lord came back and said, I'll be with you so you can defeat the Midianites as easily as if they were only one man. So Gideon is like, you'll be with me? Well, who are you? You've got to prove to me that you are God. Prove to me that you are who you say you are. And I would tell you the same thing in any relationship you go in. Before you jump, find out who that person is. Do some research. They say they're going to be with you for life. They love you, and you're going to be their wife or you're going to be their husband or whatever the case may be. Research that person. Don't just jump in feet first. Yeah, let's do it. Get some background information. Put some time in. Are they really who they say they are? Or are they just jibber-jabbing, smacking gums in order to get you in the place that they want you to be in? Whether it's a quick lay, whether it's their side piece, you need to investigate. So many things happen because we jump first and ask questions later. We rush to do things instead of waiting on it. People are going to show you who they really are after time. We all have the representative at first. We show people who we want them to see, the best part of us. But in time, you'll find out if somebody's lazy. You'll find out if somebody has 15 other females, 10 other dudes. In time, you'll find out if they're a liar or a cheater or if they steal or if they're a murderer. You'll find this out after time. You can't rush and do things, run and jump. No, you've got to know who the person is. And let me just say this. I'm going to get some people who are mad at me. Please don't send me any emails, text messages, cursing me out, but I'm really going to say what I'm going to say. Anybody can appear one way online, but it's not until you spend real, put your hands on them, time with a person, that you'll start seeing their true color. I can type, first of all, I'm a writer. I can type anything about my personality. I can promise you the sun, moon, and every star. On paper, online, in a text, in an email, in a DM. But it's not until you spend time with me that you know who the real Andrea is and know that there are different parts of her personality. Not until you come offline and deal with somebody realistically, physically, emotionally, mentally, psychologically, spiritually, financially, will you see their whole makeup? I'm sorry, for as good as online is, and I'm not knocking online dating. I've done it. I've actually got great friends from online that I've been friends with for many, 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 many years. I'm talking about over 20. However, when it comes to forever and somebody you want to be with, you got to spend real time with them. And I'm saying this about God, too. Just spend time with him to learn who he is. How are you going to say you love him, but you don't talk to him? You don't share your feelings with him. Yet, old dude down the street, you telling him every problem you have, every situation, you crying out to him, but you're supposed to love God more. But you only use him when it's appropriate for you. I don't know who I'm talking to. Please don't curse me out. I'm just saying what's in my spirit. You need to spend some real time with God like you're spending real time with old dude. Because when you spend real time with God, he'll tell you old dude ain't the one. How these women trick these men into marriage? Because you didn't spend time with God. You didn't ask God. You let your flesh take over. You let your flesh and your need to be with a companion and to have some companionship, and because you needed your itch scratched, you jumped. God ain't tell you to do that. God said, hey, hold up. I have somebody for you, but she's not ready yet. I'm putting the finishing touches on her. I'm putting my spirit into her. She's been hurt. I need to mend her heart. As a matter of fact, I'm working on you right now. So even though you have that itch that needs to be scratched, even though you want companionship, I'm working on you. I need you to be in a lonely place right now so that you'll remember what this feels like. So when you get what I've created for you, you'll appreciate it. You'll have gratitude. you'll treat it right and cherish it or her or him right because I manufactured her or him for you, period. There are so many rushed relationships. They argue all the time, disrespect each other all the time. Why? Because you were never supposed to be together. Never. But it looked good on paper. It sounded good when y'all were having those late night conversations. She was heating you up. He was making you wet. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say all that. But it's true. And so now y'all together. Arguing, cussing, fussing, ready to fight. Can't accomplish anything because you're always bickering. He's sneaking off with his boys. She's sneaking off with her girls, complaining about each other. Or you got somebody on the side because you thought he could scratch your itch, but he couldn't scratch nothing. You thought she could put the fire out, but she just making the fire worse. So now you're looking for your side chick to handle it. You can't talk to each other because you were never friends. So now she still has male friends. You still have female friends. And you talking to these friends more than you talking to the person who you said I do to. Why? Because you ain't wait on God. You didn't have a relationship with God. You didn't talk to God. You didn't trust God. You didn't allow him to get this stuff out. You didn't allow him to work on the person he really had for you. You didn't allow him to work on you. So now you got what you have. God permitted it to happen. It wasn't perfected, though, because God didn't have his hand on it. Okay, don't know why I went there, but that's what was in my spirit. Please don't curse me out. Send no email. I love you with the love of Jesus. So, research. It is fine to investigate God. Don't be afraid to do it. You know what drives me crazy in Christianity? We can question anybody else. We can ask questions. We can seek information, even though a lot of times we don't, but we can. But we feel like we can't do the same with God. Why not? How can God be the best friend, the most faithful friend, the lawyer, the doctor, the judge, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, almighty, amazing, awesome, wonderful counselor? But you can't research him. You can't ask him questions. You can't say, Lord, is it you? Is it me? Or is it the enemy? Why can't you ask those things? I hear that so often, and it's a lie. Think about your parents. Growing up, you asked them questions. Of course, sometimes the answer was, don't question me, or the answer was, because, or the answer was, because I said so, or the answer was, I'm your mother, don't question me. You still got answers, though. Still ask questions. Your best friend, your friends, your squad, your homies, your crew. You ask them questions, right? I'm just saying, if God is all those things to you, why can't you do some research to make sure, Lord, is this what you're really saying? Not only is this really what you're saying, are you really God or is it my fear speaking? Is it my ego speaking? Is it the enemy speaking? How do I know it's your voice? Which brings me into point two. I was about to say verse two. Don't be afraid to interrogate God. Don't be afraid to interrogate God. Question God. Put that in parentheses. Question. Ask. Find out. Look at verses 36 through 38. Then Gideon said to God, you said that you would help me save the Israelites. Give me proof. I will put a sheepskin on the threshing floor. If there is dew only on the sheepskin while all the ground is dry, I will know that you will use me to save Israel, as you said. And that is exactly what happened. Gideon got up early the next morning and squeezed the sheepskin. He was able to drain a bowl full of water from it. Don't be afraid to interrogate God. Don't be afraid to question God. God, if this is really you, fill in the blank. God, if this is really from you, fill in the blank. God, if you really want me to do this, fill in the blank. God, if this person is really for me, fill in the blank. You know why we don't question God? Can I be real? Can I be honest? Can I be 100 today? We don't question God. We don't ask him questions. We don't interrogate him because we are so frightful of his answer. We're so scared that God is going to say no. We don't like no. We don't want our dreams to be squashed. I'm sorry. We don't want God to tell us not now. We are so scared of losing the dreams that we have, the people that we want, and the places we want to go. So we rather hear something that we're telling ourselves than hear what God says. I'm guilty of it. That's why I can talk about it today. I'm not saying anything to you that I haven't gone through. We are scared to ask the questions because we are so scared of those answers. That's why you don't ask people that you meet real questions. You don't ask people that you want to date real questions either. You'll be on date number 10 not knowing if this man just likes women or not knowing if this woman only likes men. Have you ever slept with another man? Have you ever slept with another woman? These are questions you want answers to, but you're so scared of hearing the answer because you don't know how to handle it. We have become complacent, comfortable, and desperate. I said it. We don't want to be alone. So we rather take right now than take right. We are so scared of being by ourselves that we'll take any old thing just to have something. Those morals, those values that you used to have, you've buried them now because it's not popular. The standards you used to have, you pushed off so you won't have any more lonely nights. We are so scared to be by ourselves. I said it. It's a true story. Sometimes you ask yourself how so-and-so could possibly be with so-and-so. They're scared. That's one answer. Could be meant. But when you see people arguing all the time, that's not of God. Why? That's a waste of time. How can you build an empire? How can you build the kingdom arguing all the time? We can't even agree on what to cook for dinner. We can't agree on how to raise our kids. We can't agree on how to save our money, how to bank our money, how to put our money together. Why would God put that together? He wouldn't. You're taking away the attention from the kingdom. We're all supposed to be kingdom builders. We are supposed to join, unite, become one, so we can continue to build the kingdom. When we're single, we're supposed to give our time to God, serve God, be with God, embrace God, love on God. These are what things that we're supposed to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not that person, that perfect person that feels that way, because I cry out to God all the time, but that's my business. However, it's a true story. That's what you're supposed to do when you're single. You're supposed to be focused on God and building his kingdom because you don't have anyone to answer to. You don't have anyone that you have to check in with. You don't have to make a joint decision to do something. It's just your decision. So you're supposed to spend even more time with God when you're single. But when you're married, building the kingdom doesn't stop. It's supposed to get more powerful because when the two become one, there's nothing that's supposed to be able to break that bond. That's power. You got two brains, four eyes, four ears, two noses, two mouths, four arms, four legs, two backs. You're supposed to be stronger than ever and push God's agenda through what's supposed to happen. So how then can you push God's agenda through when you were arguing because he looked at Bebe too long? Or you're concerned because Day Day, her ex-man, keeps calling her and she's allowing it? That's not of God. All that bickering and arguing, there is an issue there. There's an issue. You need to go for counseling. You need somebody to talk to, the two of you, to help you build the strengthening of your union. Or maybe help you to dissolve that union. I can't tell you. But I do know, I have seen godly couples. Do they never argue? Uh-uh. They do argue. Sometimes. It's not everyday bickering. It's not bickering over stupid things. We're human. So, of course, we have flaws. We have issues. We've lived by ourselves for however many years, so we've become settled in a way of thinking or a way of being. So now we have to take that off to allow somebody else in. That's not an easy thing to do. However, when it's of God, it happens naturally. All this arguing because he wants to dominate you and she doesn't want to be dominated. Maybe the two of you don't need to be together. Because you can't force people to feel your agenda. I'm talking to husbands. I'm talking to fiancés. I'm talking to boyfriends. Because we have a lot of strong-minded men. You cannot bully a woman to be with you. You cannot bully her to have your way of thinking. You got to back up a little bit and say she is a free-minded person and allow her her choice. By the same token, we got some strong-minded women. The Bible says submit yourself. However, you are submit yourself unto your husband as he submits himself unto God. He has to submit too. That's how it works. There's God. Jesus submitted to God. Man is supposed to submit unto Jesus. The wife submits unto man. Children submit unto mom. I'm just saying what I'm saying. That's the true way it's supposed to happen. Everyone is supposed to submit to God. He is the source. He is the great I am. We all submit to him. So if the husband is out of line and not submitting, it's hard to tell or ask or request your wife to submit to you. And you wondering why? Well, maybe you need to submit because God needs to break you. Break that ego, break that pride down. Because a woman submitting to you is not her being your servant, your maid, your sex slave. That's not what submission means. In all reality, the submission that the Bible is talking about is even though you are the head of the household, we still have to agree. You don't dominate the household. The woman is beside you, not behind you. Not in front of you, beside you. We are doing this thing together. That's why we join. God took Eve out of Adam's rib, his side. Not his head, not his foot. You need to look at that. A lot of relationships going wrong because the man wants to dominate the household. That's not what good leadership is. A good leader doesn't dominate. I don't know why I'm on this kick today. But I tell you what's in my... A good leader doesn't dominate. He has people around him that can advise him. He may have the final say, but it's after he has gotten good advice, has talked to God, and makes a decision. He can't rule with an iron fist and expect there not to be anarchy. Okay. Okay to question God. Whew. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It's okay to question God. It is. I like this story because Gideon wasn't scared. Even though he came from the weakest family, even though he was the youngest, the least in his family, still wasn't scared, and God saw that. Like Gideon was like, I want to do what you say, but number one, I need to know who you are. I need some proof that you are God. The angel came and touched the rock. The rock got on, caught on fire, burned up the meat. Then the angel disappeared. I don't know about you, but if God came down and we had a conversation and I said, prove who you are, and he just created fire with no match, with no lighter, with no stove, but with a stick, just touched it, not, you know, how the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts used to teach you how to make fire with twigs and rock. No, he just hit the rock, and fire came, burnt up the meat, and then I look, and he's gone. I don't know about you. Think I got some proof there that I'm talking to God. But not only did Gideon say, am I talking to God, Are you really God? Are you really real? His next thing was, if you really are going to be with me in battle like you say you are, prove it. I need to know that you're going to be here for me. Nothing wrong with asking people to prove themselves. But again, we get scared because they may not live up to our expectations. And one of two things has to happen. Either we have to lower our expectations because they're too high, or we got to let people go because they're not high enough. This settling thing has to end. When does it end? Settling to be with somebody so you don't feel like a nobody. It's got to end, and I do not know why I keep talking about relationships, but it keeps coming out, so I'm just going to give you what I'm getting in hopes that it'll help you. I'm not condemning anybody. This is all said with love. I want the best life for you. I want the best life for myself. So the very things I'm telling you, I'm listening to with my heart and my ears, my spirit and my mind. All right, point three, because y'all sick of me now. Don't be afraid to invoke God. Don't be afraid to invoke God. In parentheses, put petition. And what invoke means is to ask earnestly. It's almost like a begging. It's like a, I need confirmation. Please, Lord. Verses 39 and 40. Then Gideon said to God, don't be angry with me. Let me ask just one more thing. Let me test you one more time with the sheepskin. This time, let the sheepskin be dry while the ground around it gets wet with dew. That night, God did that very thing. Just the sheepskin was dry, but the ground around it was wet with dew. Gideon already had proof, right? When the angel of the Lord sat beside him and said what he said, Gideon said, I need proof. I'll be right back. He got the meat. He came back. He had the broth, poured it over the rock. I don't know if y'all got that, but a wet rock shouldn't be able to be lit. But he poured the broth over the rock and the meat, so everything was wet. The angel of the Lord, poof, fire, burned up the meat. So that meant that even through wetness, fire was able to start and consume. Sometimes our lives need to be consumed. All the time our lives need to be consumed by God. That fire needs to be burning inside of us for God. That it consumes our doubt. It consumes our fear. It consumes our worry. It consumes that pride. It consumes that ego. It consumes the anger. It consumes the bitterness. It consumes the resentment. It consumes the anger. Consumes the accusation. Consumes the self-doubt. We need that fire to consume every part of us. Spending time with God does that. I promise you, the best times I feel, to be very honest with you, is when I spend time doing these sermons with you every week, when we do our Bible study. Like, I'll be having a rough time of it. I'll be upset. I'll be angry. I'll be bitter. I'll be resentful. I have a tough time sometimes. But when I have to do the sermon, when we do Bible study, all of that goes away. And there's a sense of rejuvenation, restoration. I feel reborn. And it's because I'm spending time with God, even preparing for it. I'm just like, ooh, mm. But God still doesn't give me the same revelation when I'm studying by myself as he does when I'm speaking to you, as he does when I'm sharing with my family and my family is sharing with me. It's so much revelation. You need to be consumed. You need to worship, to praise, to pray, to read. Got to get our minds right. And I'm preparing my mind to get right. It's time. So point three. Don't be afraid to invoke God. So, Gideon has this proof, right? Gideon's already spoken to him, the angel. And the angel has proven that he was God with the meat in the fire, the broth. Then Gideon says, so that I know that what you're telling me is right, that you're going to be with me, that you're not going to leave me, that you're going to allow me to win and be victorious, I need you to do something for me, Lord. I need you, the ground dry, but put dew on the sheepskin, saturate it. I hear not only do we need to be consumed, but we need to be saturated with God's Spirit. There's a saturation that needs to happen. Sometimes in our lives, we need to shut everything off. Our phone, TV, people, thoughts. You know, it's like meditation. When you're just thinking, clear your mind up and only see the goodness of God. Just sit. For me, I like incense. Frankincense and myrrh, my favorite, to just put me in the spirit of God. I can't explain to you why. And it's, I don't know if it's because it's biblical, because it's what they worship Jesus with. They gave him gifts of frankincense and myrrh. I'm not sure if that's what it is, and it's in my mind. But I promise you, the scent itself feels so, I can't explain it. There's no word that I could tell you, and I don't want to lie to you. But I'll light that and have it in the room, and I feel closer to God. And I'll put on some worship music, sometimes some music, no words, just melodies playing. And I can sit. I'll have a Bible open in front of me, a notebook beside me with a pen. May not ever touch either of those, or maybe one, maybe both sometimes. But just to set the atmosphere and be saturated with his presence, his fire, his anointing, his love. You need to do that. If you can't find it in your house, go somewhere. I know some people go to the mountain. Some people go by the water. But it's a time for you and God to just be with each other. And it's so necessary to be saturated by him so you can fully hear what he has to say to you, so you can release that negativity and he can pour down the Spirit on you, pour down the fruit of the Spirit. You need that. You need to be rejuvenated. Yes, I believe in going to church because you are in a fellowship of believers and there's a word that God has. There may be an embrace you need. You may need to hear a testimony. There may be a song that's sung. I believe in that, but I also believe in your one-on-one time with God. For as much as you fellowship with believers, you still need to have that one-on-one time with God so you can hear him. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you need God. You need to saturate yourself with him. He needs to consume you. That fire, thank you, Holy Spirit. That fire symbolizes being consumed. The water symbolizes being saturated. And you can have both. Thank you, Lord. So Gideon asks for the sheepskin on the threshing floor to be saturated, but the ground around it be dry. So that's proof number two. But he said, don't be angry with me. I just need to test you one more time with the sheepskin. Let me test you one more time. This time, I'm going to do the opposite thing. Let the sheepskin be dry while the ground all around it gets wet with dew. Here's what I want to say to people who say God doesn't confirm things. Read this scripture. God confirmed twice. Usually for me, God confirms something. He says something, confirms it. We're good. But the last time he and I had this, and it's funny that I still didn't remember this story, he confirmed it twice. And I was like, oh, and can I tell you what it was? It was the Bible study. It was said once, confirmed twice. It's the exact story. But I didn't ask God to confirm it. I didn't ask God for the first thing. Neither did Gideon. I didn't ask God to tell me about doing Bible study this year. I didn't ask. I wasn't interested. I was doing my own thing in my own world. But the word came to me. I heard it. I said, okay, all right. I'll deliberate on it. I'll get back to God about it. Then I had conditions. Well, if I am going to do something like that, then I need this to take place, this to happen, da-da-dee-da-da-do. Put it down. A couple of months later, not that many months, because, you know, we started the Bible study in, what was it, May? Or was it June? No, it had to be longer than that because we're in week 9. So 9 weeks from this week. And so a couple months after January, because I got the word on January 1st, someone at my job came up to me. We were talking, and we talk all the time, and we talk about God. We talk about our feelings and things like that. And in the midst of it, a person said something about Bible study. And I looked, so I said, nah, I can't be. But then went on and went off on a tangent about how you need, even if you're not in a church, you haven't joined a church or you're not attending full time, that you still need that word poured into you. You still need to hear the word. You still need to spend time with God. And she just kept going and going and going and going. And I just was like, so convicted. Can I be honest with you? I was convicted because I wasn't getting anything, doing anything. I wasn't even listening to gospel music, really. I'm being very honest with you. And she just kept going and going and going, and my spirit was like lit up. It was on fire. Like I was hot from the inside out. And I just was like, Then she talked about Bible study again, but went in depth this time, and I knew. But I still did not move my feet to do it. Still did not. I still was like, well, maybe. But then the third confirmation, well, the second confirmation came, the third conversation about Bible study came. Not only did it come, but it came with a date. And I knew that if I did not do what God had already said to do from January, I was going to be in trouble because then I'd be being disobedient. I had stalled, was justifying my stalling, making excuses for why I hadn't started yet. But this one was a listen. And the rest of you know the story. I had one day to prepare, one day, not a week, not a month, not a year. I had one day to prepare. And I prepared because I knew. And so I'm just saying this. When people tell you God doesn't confirm anything, yes, he does. And he also sends prophets. And prophets come to confirm what you already have heard or you already know. I like to think that prophets come when the time is coming near. Because even as I look in the Bible, when God had his prophets and his angels come to speak to people, it wasn't like 50 years later before something happened. It was like, get ready, prepare yourself, because it's about to happen. So I need you to prepare yourself that it's going to happen. So I just say this to everyone under the sound of my voice. God does confirm. Just be ready, be ready, be ready, as TD says, TD Jakes, love him, because you need to be ready. I don't know what you're going through in your walk right now. I don't know where you are in your life right now. But when I tell you, God had to remind me of this story through my niece, because I have questions. I don't understand. I didn't understand. I couldn't get it. But I wasn't talking to him. I wasn't questioning him. I wasn't researching. I wasn't doing anything. And my niece reminded me. She said, Auntie, you shared these words with me many years ago, and I still remember them. that touched my heart, first of all, that my niece was listening to me. But not only was she listening to me, she used the very words I said to her to give me life. The word of God should give you life. And see, even in this third example, even though the sheepskin was dry, I don't look on it as dry. I look on it as a miracle. So in your life, it may seem dry right now. The things that you're going through, you feel defeated right now. You feel like you're dying right now. You're losing right now. Don't think of it. It's not death. It may be the death of a situation, the death of a circumstance. Things needed to die off, be dry so they could fall off, so that God could saturate you and consume you and move you to something bigger, a miracle. I believe it. I don't know why that just hit me, and I'm feeling emotional behind it, because I know he's talking to me, because it feels like everything is dry. It has dried up and fallen off, and I'm thinking it's a bad thing. Like, I want to have a memorial service. But God just shared with me just now that even though the sheepskin was dry, it was a miracle. Because that miracle proved that God was who he was and God said what he said. So the very promises he gave you will not come back to him, will not return to him void. They won't die. Things and situations had to die so they could rise, so they could live, so they could become a miracle in your life. And I speak that to you, I speak that to me today, that even though things stopped, things ended, things died, things dried up, you should celebrate, because they had to die so that you could go to where God needs you to go. Wow. That's a shouting word right there. They had to leave. They had to die. They had to dry up. They had to fall off so you could get your wings and fly to what that destination God has for you to go to. In order for you to fly, they had to die. And I'm sharing that with you this morning. So don't think of that death as a bad thing. Instead of doing a memorial service, you do a shouting service. You shout because now you're free and you're able to do the things that God promised. You're able now. You have freedom now. You have been released from bondage. Wow. And I hope you receive that word, because it's for somebody. I promise you, you are going to soar now. Because God has burnt off everything that was holding you down. The only thing that can hold you down is you and your lack of belief. So, like Gideon, investigate God, interrogate God, and invoke God to find out who he is and what his promise is for your life, and that he'll be there to walk it out with you. Wow. What a word. And I thank you so much for tuning in this week for Walking the Talk Radio. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate your support. I'm praying for you every week that God would just share his wisdom with you and that you would start living your best life. I love you so much. I'm the Northern Belle, Andrea J. Carr, and I'll see you next week, the same bat channel in the same bat time. Amen.